Season 4, Episode 4 of Decoded Podcast. I'm Roland Chidiak, he's Chris Clough, and today I'm going to say that this is going to be an express version of the Decoded Podcast because I have to go, but before I go, you and I needed to chat, and that's what we did on our on-ramp today. So the on-ramp was like, I had a feeling today the on-ramp might be all that we did just because of life, and I was good with it. Like I didn't talk to you about that before we started today, but when I sat down and turned on StreamYard and connected with you, I was fully aware of the fact that we might not do a podcast today, that it would just be on ramp and then I would have to go do what I'm doing today. So I'm glad that we could go live. That's cool.
I'll say part of that, it's because of the timing factor. I had similar thoughts, but not because of the timing. It was more because we haven't connected, so that tends to front load the podcast, because you know the friendship, well, let's say the podcasting sparked the friendship, but now the friendship precedes the podcast. So us not being able to connect as frequently, I'd say in the last 2 weeks, has an impact on the amount of content we can put together, because there was details that we had to get through that kind of rolled through family stuff and work stuff, and it had to be worked out, the kinks, the stretches, right? That's what it was. It was the 20 minute, we're going to get a 20 minute warm up of a podcast, or 20 minute intensive, high intensity, maybe podcast. And then everything else was warm up and warm down. We won't even get a warm down, because like you said, we're kind of tight and we got to bust out soon. Was there something you wanted to lock on?
I wanted to lock on something that has to do with just like me as a human that maybe other people can think about and consider. So it's not a dad thing. It's not a teacher thing. But it is.
Well, yes. Sorry, it is only because, dude, it's you, right? You can isolate it, but it's you. Sorry, but roll with it.
Okay. So I had this. So as I was telling you on the on-ramp, my life seems to have gone from color to black and white. That's the best way I can explain it right now. I feel like the world I'm living in and the life I'm living is, I'm not seeing it in color anymore. I'm seeing it in black and white. So part of that is that I'm sleeping, but I'm waking up earlier than I would like to. And I think it's because of like the new normal that we find ourselves in. Now, it's kind of a good thing because I do my exercise in the mornings before work. So if I'm waking up a little bit earlier, then that means I'm out the door earlier, which is great because then I'm getting my exercise in. But here's the thing. I'm outside and it's dark. And I don't know what's going on out there in the dark. And I don't know what kind of critters are running around out there. It's funny, I was telling my buddy Joe Marquez that I was like a couple of times on my morning exercise walks, I'm like freaked out by some of the sounds or the smells. And I'm like, oh man, like I'm in no position to be like coming up against an animal or another human that's not interested in being pro-social, right? So, so here's the thing. I'm on my walk and I've got a route. And I've got it down pat. It's perfect for me. And as I'm walking, I start hearing a dog barking. And it's weird to me because where I am, there is usually not a dog barking at that time. It's all new to me, but none of it fits. So I'm like, whatever. So I keep walking and I'm constantly scanning my environment because, like I said, it's dark. But I'm scanning to make sure I know what I'm coming up to and what's behind me, what's in front of me. So I'm walking And I pass, so I hear the dog barking, and I pass that section, dog stops barking, and I do like a loop. So as I'm coming around the loop, I don't have a good feeling at all. So the whole time, ever since I was hearing the dog bark, I was like, this isn't good. There's something's not right. Who lets their dog out? Like, who let the dogs out? The dog was out really early.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, maybe somebody's up early and they let their dog out because that's what dogs do in the morning. They go out, they do their thing, they come in. So as I loop around, and this is relatively close to my house. It's on the main strip, but like right behind that strip is like my neighborhood. So I come around and I see this dog. The dog is attached to, you know, people who go running, they have like a little, they have like a push carrier that they put their kids in.
Yeah, a jogging stroller.
A jogging stroller, or they can attach it to a bicycle and the kids sit in it. I see one of those. I see a dog attached to it. And I see what looks like a human on the ground. So now I'm like, uh-oh, like was somebody out for a walk and had a heart attack, or somebody did something to them? Because from my vantage point, it looked like there's a dog there who looks wide awake, connected to this stroller type thing, and somebody's on the ground. And they're not hidden away. They're like on a path, on a main strip, under a light. And I'm like, did something happen to this person? So now my heart is racing a mile a minute. And I'm thinking, oh my God, am I going to come up to something that is really like, that I don't want to be coming up against? So I strategically think how I'm going to approach this. So I didn't go running to this person. I didn't go running to them because it's COVID. I don't know what's going on over there. And here's a sick part of my mind, which you and I have talked about, that I'm not going to really talk about here.
It's also potentially a body. So like,
but not only is it a body, but the first thing in my mind is this a trap? Like, am I supposed to go there and then is something going to happen to me? Like, I know, who thinks of that? I think of that. So I'm not interested in being a victim here either. So I figure out a way to get into a better vantage point in a way that I can't, that I'm protected, that I know what's all around me at all times. And now not only is my heart pumping and I'm thinking strategically, I'm like, I'm ready to fight. So like, it's fight or flight. I'm not going to leave because somebody might be in danger. Somebody might need my help or somebody's help, but I'm certainly ready to kick some ass if this goes south. Like that's the mind. And this is happening. People are asleep and I'm out living like this, right? So I come around the corner and I start to approach this. And as I come closer, I realize it's a homeless person who's decided to sleep or to lay down in this particular spot that is, I would say, not a good spot for someone to be doing this, because it's like somebody's bound to call the police or something. Like it's not a good spot for them if they want to rest or whatever. And then I approach, the dog looks at me. I look at the dog, it's not a big dog. And I see the stroller type thing and I see stuff all over the place. Like, I want to call it garbage, but I don't know what it is. And then I see like, there's
it's
a body.
It's their belongings.
It's their belongings, I guess. There's a body in what looks like a sleeping bag. And the body's moving, like, so it's not like the body is like rolling over or whatever. So
doing what a body should.
Right. Exactly. So yeah. This person is living. They don't look like they're in distress.
Yep.
Everything I'm seeing leads me to believe that it's a homeless individual and they're trying to sleep. So I'm like, I stop and I'm like, okay, so they're not in danger. Like from what I can tell by my observations, they're not in danger. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not going to approach them and question them at this point. And now I'm starting to calm down because I'm like, okay, I'm starting to calm down because it's like, okay, they're not in danger. I'm not in danger. Time for me to go home. So I turn around and I go home. So when you and I were talking about my walks and you were asking me, do I listen to anything? Since that has happened to me, I've not been listening to any podcasts. I've just literally been walking and listening to the environment around me. I'm kind of spooked out. I'm spooked out of a number of things. Number one, that this happened so close to my house. Number two, that there was a homeless person that I didn't help. Like I walked away, and I'm going to argue that like the circumstances were not the, like, what am I going to do? Wake this person up at 5:30 in the morning, say, hey, do you need a hand? Like, that's not good for them either. They might be spooked by that or whatever. So I was just like, you know what I thought to myself? When I leave the house to drive my kids to school, I'm going to come by that person's area. And if they're still there, then I'll be prepared to help them. So I was prepared, like I had packed extra food and stuff. So if there was somebody there, I could easily just roll down the window and say, hey, I've got something for you, and give them a bag of stuff, right? I was ready for that. That I could do. But when I got there at that point, there was nobody there. Everything was gone. And then since that time, I've not seen them there. So I don't know. But it was an interesting moment, humanity, privilege, fight or flight, danger. Like it was thick with all that stuff. I wanted to share that. I want to share what I did.
It's good, man.
What I didn't do. It's good. I'm dying. There's a part of my path where there's no lights. And I'm like, I don't even know why I go down there anymore. I think I'm just looking for trouble. Like, you know, I've even thought about, I should probably have a heavy duty flashlight on me and just turn it on in certain places just so that like people see light. Nobody else is out. And when people are out, I'm very suspicious. And I wonder if they're suspicious of me too. But I'm wearing sweats. I'm avoiding them. Like, you know, it's interesting.
I like the connect. It's just, and I know we're tight, but you got, as I look over at the clock, you got me thinking about that whole bearing witness kind of a mindset though. Let me kind of walk you through this. I don't know if you're actually in danger. And I wonder if you were even in danger.
I did yet, wonder.
But you have, you know, you have the human response of this is not expected. It's interesting to me that with the dog making such a ruckus, that the person sleeping there didn't interact and just continued doing what they're doing. So it's, you know, how they sort of bore witness to the dog and to maybe even knowing that you're there. Maybe not. Like as an event, it's fascinating. The individual on the ground there was an opportunity there for them to look up and connect with you in some way, which doesn't sound like it happened knowingly, right? And you sort of, even you saying now, the after effect, feeling like it was dangerous, is an interesting interpretation to me. You know, even questioning, should I be going into that space and labeling it as dangerous is interesting to me, because there's not evidence yet to suggest that anything dangerous actually happened. You had an emotional experience. You had a surprising experience. I think that this moment that you had, and not to reduce it and not to own it, is a little bit a part of the kind of like the psychology of being a parent right now, and maybe being a teacher right now. The whole, you know, something feels off. You bear the brunt of that. You make a decision and you move forward. But I think there's a lot of those spaces right now that if given the opportunity to look at it just a little bit longer, we might be able to find some peaceful place in it that maybe it's not dangerous, but it's getting clumped into a whole lot of other things that do feel dangerous. It's like bumping your sore knee, right? Or maybe not even bumping your sore knee. You bruise your knee and then you get too close. You sit down in the chair and you sort of say to yourself, oh, I don't want to bump my knee again. Yet there was no evidence to suggest you would. You're just overly cautious.
Your perspective is definitely interesting. Like, I think for me, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying and I get the logic, but I was on pure emotion because of the time I was out. It's irregular for people to be out at that time, right? So right there, we've got something that goes against the norm. Then we've got this person who I didn't know what was happening. So there was something happening there, but I didn't know what it was and I couldn't see what it was from where I was. And there were cars driving by here and there, and there was nobody else out. It was just weird. The darkness, everything about it wasn't normal. And then I remember as I came up with my strategy on how to approach, I thought, shoot, I don't have a mask. Like, these are the things I was thinking, like, I can't get too close. What if it is somebody who's hurt on the ground? Should I get right up and check on them? Like, you have to get close to somebody to see, like, are you breathing? Are you okay? I don't have a mask, which then makes me think I should probably bring a mask with me every time I leave the house. My mind is normally like, I don't need a mask. I'm not going in any stores and I'm not planning on getting close to anybody. So I don't need a mask for my walk, but maybe I should have a mask. And then I was like, there's just so much. Like, if this person is unconscious, then I have to call 911 and I got to stay there. And how do I let my wife and kids know? Because they're all still asleep at home. Like, it's the whole thing is whacked out, in my opinion. And then because days before I was freaked out about walking in such darkness that I was like already freaked out, right? So there was just layer upon layer of things that just played into it. And I'm so happy that it wasn't an injured individual, but I'm so sad that I didn't do anything to help someone who obviously requires some help. Like, but it wasn't the right time. I'm not going to walk up to some homeless person at 5:30 in the morning and try to offer them assistance. Like, it just didn't seem like the right time to do it. So I thought, okay, well, I'll come back. But when I came back, the person was gone. This whole experience reminds me of the sub-store experience. Mm. When the man was talking to me about Jesus.
Dude, that's like, you're going back to season two.
Was it season two that far back?
Yeah, I think season two. Listeners, you won't remember the sub-story, but you definitely need to go into our back catalog and check out the sub-story. I think I pushed back in a similar fashion. I think I pushed back in a similar fashion about, you know, what was the opportunity there?
And it was I had to get the food and go home and feed my family. But I was bothered. I was like, why does this person want to talk to me about Jesus Christ at this moment in time? Is this person crazy? Or is this person a real believer and sees something or wants to reach out?
I even maybe not comically, but said, is this a manifestation of Jesus? Like, is this the opportunity to contemplate with Jesus? Like, is this individual a vessel or a tool to connect with you? Like, I think we even existed in a little bit in that space for a little bit. I didn't know what I was talking about. I still don't, but the opportunity as it's presented to you, even now, obviously is lensed differently. You're outside how you were primed. And this is I'm going to throw some kudos out there to Pam Belding. So a counselor that I worked with for a couple of years, and she was huge. I'm going to hit you and your counselor toolbox as well, talking about antecedent, the behavior and the consequence. And we used to use this a lot to sort of work with some of the students. What happened just before the behavior that seemed so obvious? And then what's the consequence of that behavior? So dude, you were primed. You were knowingly primed as soon as you heard the dog barking because you fixated on it, right? and you didn't even see the trigger coming. The trigger ultimately was the encounter with the dog, which then sort of like opened the door into the encounter with a body, which then shifted into the human. Like, you're just clipping through antecedent behavior, like stuff that's sort of priming you and triggering you, that part of, in the consequence, what you were looking for was release. Like, you wanted to get it. I think you wanted an understanding of what was happening in front of you, but I think you also were wanted to have something that could tell you you could walk away from it, that you didn't have to fixate on it anymore. Because there's a lot of stress that happens in that flip-flop. And then obviously coming away from it afterwards, you get home and you're like, you're outside the prime, you're no longer in the behavior, and the consequence now is kind of like the guilt of not acting. So then you get primed in a different way, and you go looking for the person with the bag of support. So it's fascinating, man. Fascinating.
And then it's like, I haven't spoken to anybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may have mentioned it to Joe Marquez in one of my talks with him in the morning, but that's it. Like, I didn't tell my kids, nobody. That's the other thing too. Like, the minute I get to work, it's like I'm in work mode.
Yeah, it disappears. It evaporates.
It disappears. And then it comes up in places like this.
Well, because it evaporates, but it's inside a bubble. So you get the distillation and it just falls back down. And all of a sudden you have access to that moment, right? Mm-hmm. One of my faculty homeroom teachers, Michael Tudor, said, you know, it's amazing what school can actually kind of push to the edges. So you end up sitting, you know, experience, you don't really know where the edges of who you are while you're at work, because school constantly just kind of like pushes you out like this. But then you start to drive home and the balloon starts to kind of like deflate a little bit and start to sort of grab in around you. And you start to come back to, oh yeah, I remember who I was before I got in the car to go to work. Mm-hmm. And that could be thinking about your own kid, thinking about your own life, thinking about the experiences that happened that morning. It's an amazing little bit of amnesia, like work time amnesia.
It's crazy, man.
Oh, it's a great story. It's a great story.
Anyway, on that note, the Express episode, we've had one viewer for a while. No comments or anything. Is that a meat grinder? Chris has drawn a meat grinder, a black and white meat grinder, it looks to me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you're a good artist. I don't know how you do that.
That's Thanks, cool. man. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
no I don't problem. Know. We didn't really get, I think, some of the feelings. As soon as just we, I think this was partially from the on-ramp, just feeling what the, you know, feeling like the constant drive to get to a decision. Get to a decision. Get to a decision. Oh. Get to a decision. Act. So.
It's Ramona. Thanks for listening in, Ramona. We appreciate it. It was either Ramona or Carlos. Mm-hmm. Our two stalwarts, always here to support us. Thanks,
Ramona. Appreciate it. Absolutely appreciate it.
I was just going to say something on the final note. Now it's, so meat grinder.
Mm-hmm.
We've both been through it. So hopefully now somebody will put us together into a really tasty burger or meatloaf or something.
And then go barbecue. Go barbecue.
I want to be barbecued now. It's time.
That's awesome.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Absolutely. I'll chat you soon, dude. Be well. Okay.
Yeah. Same to you. See ya.
Thank you.